to see y'all now. Jordan said, our mothers, and what a difference they've made in our lives. I'm thankful for that. I'd say at least about half of who I am comes from my mom. Amen. And you know, not just physically, but I'm thankful for a caring mom, and she's here this morning. I'm blessed to have that. Thankful for it. A lot of my reading time lately has been over in the Book of Psalms, and I don't know. You just can't hardly read the Book of Psalms without being encouraged. But I was going to read you a little something this morning that just blessed my heart, and Lord willing, we'll get into the lesson right here in just a minute. But Psalm 130, verse 3 says, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Brother Rick, if he were to put a flag on every sin, every transgression in my life, and bring those up against me one day, Brother Creston, you know what would happen? Not one of us in here stands a chance. Right. Read that again. You think about it. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities. If he flagged them all, folks, and brought them up against us, where would we stand when we stand before him? Oh, Lord, who shall stand? But the next verse, he said, but there is forgiveness with thee,
right,
that thou mayest be feared. He said, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. You know where we get our hope? The only reason I have hope against that day is because my hope has been placed in his word.
That's right.
John, I can't trust in me, but I can trust this right here. And I can just invest everything I have and just trust everything I am with what he said. That one day I can stand before him. And those sins that he could have marked, and maybe in my mind he should have marked, that all of them are going to be gone and will not be brought up again. He said, my soul waiteth for the Lord more than they which wait for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord. He said, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. Ain't that a blessing? Ain't that a blessing that there's plenteous? You know how much that is? That's enough for you, and that's enough for me. And that's for anybody else that needs redemption. You know who needs redemption? Every one of us needs it. Every one of us. Now, I just appreciate that. That was a blessing to me. Maybe that'll be encouragement to you this morning. But the book of 1 John, chapter 2. Man, it seems like forever since we've been looking at this passage. I know it's only probably been about a month, but First John chapter 2, down to verse 9 is where we'll read through verse 11. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. And so I can't help but just look at these three verses here as one unit, as one whole, talking about one subject. But as we looked, we already looked in verse 9, you noticed that claim, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. That's a scary place to be. So we see the person that thinks and says that they're in the light, but they still have that hatred toward the brethren in their heart. But then we see in verse 10, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light. We know their standing based on the way that they conduct themselves. Abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But as we come to verse 11, we see a little more in-depth look. He says, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness. And so the first thing that we find right here is the state of this person who's holding on to this hatred. That state is that he is in darkness. You know, the Bible, notice that the Bible leaves no question as to where this person is at spiritually. He says they are in darkness. That's the state that they're in. And, you know, I'm thankful for the places in the Word of God that leave no question. So you understand today, whether you're lost or saved, if you have hatred in your heart toward the brethren, guess where you're at? You're in a dark place. Now, you're either in the dark and have never been brought out, or you've allowed some darkness to creep back in. And now, I personally think that this passage, based on verse number 9, it says, "He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now." I think it's really talking about somebody who's been lost and state, you know, has been in that state and still is in that state. But I think we can apply these to the brethren and understand there are times, and I think everybody in here has experienced some times in our lives when maybe somebody's done something in a circumstance or something that has hurt us real bad. And there's been that element of hatred, bitterness, malice, that anger that's come up for a moment. And, you know, how everybody deals with that's different, but the Scripture's real plain about how we deal with those things. We'll get to that in just a minute. But we find that if you are harboring those feelings on the inside, then there's no question about your state. You're in the dark. You're in the dark. And, you know, something that I've learned over the years about Scriptures is that, you know, Kevin brings it up a lot. The Bible tells us, you know, and everybody around us will let us know, judge not that you be not judged, right? You know, I can't judge them. Well, I'll be honest with you, I'm not the judge. You don't have to be.
Right.
But there's certain things the Bible has clearly judged and laid out. And so what I do understand about the Word of God is that certain actions and certain attitudes in people's lives that are made manifest declare the state that they are in.
You're right.
Now, it don't matter what they think or what they say. It's what they are. And sometimes I like to fool myself about where I'm at, my spiritual state. Sometimes I like to think that I'm in a better place, a more brighter place than what I truly am. Because I don't like to recognize the faults, the failures, the shortcomings, those hidden feelings that we have. I like to shove them under the rug and try to keep them out of the way and act like everything's okay. And you do too. You know, everybody here is like that. But the problem here that I find is that whether this person that he's talking about here, which I know he's not talking about specific necessarily, but the person he's describing, we understand that back in verse 9 it says, "He that saith he's in the light." So I don't know this person. I don't know if he's confused, if he just don't know. But he's obviously harboring hatred in his heart. And I'm afraid that he don't know the state that he's in. And, you know, a lot of times we deal with people on a regular basis, and I'm sure you're the same way, deal with a lot of lost people. And Nathaniel, it gets frustrating at the way they act. It's very frustrating. Nathaniel just come in just, you know, a minute ago, said, "I'm glad this world is not my home." I am too.
Right.
Because it's sometimes hard to deal with people. And it's hard to deal with their feelings and their attitudes and their actions and all those things. But you know what we have to understand as Christians is that a lot of them don't realize the state that they're in. And you know what we need to do for those people? We need to pray for them. We need to give them as much grace as we possibly can. And we got to swallow our own pride, because what will happen is, We'll get to looking at them. We'll start comparing a lost person to ourselves. And we'll start thinking how good I am because I don't drink, I don't cuss, I don't party, I don't try to be rude to people. All those things. And we'll start puffing ourselves up.
You're right.
And then if we're not careful, we'll get ourselves harboring some things on the inside that put us in a state of darkness just like they are. Now, I understand, if we're saved, we're saved. But that does not mean that we're always dwelling as close as we should. And so this person, I'm afraid here that he's describing, he says, he that saith he's in the light. I have no reason to believe that he's trying to tell me a lie. You know, these people that we go out and see, we go out and visit, Brother Kevin,
yeah.
And they look at us and they say, I've been born again.
Sure.
You know, Brother Adam, you know, it's easy, Nathaniel, for me to get frustrated at that because I know different. But you know what the Lord helped me realize? A lot of them don't. And a lot of them think, Adam, because I know I'm going just real slow right here, it's okay. But a lot of them really think that because they made a profession one time, that they're okay. And I don't know, you know, that their profession was wrong or right. I can't justify that. I don't judge that. I don't know. But all I can look at is their actions.
Yep.
But all I'm saying is that we've got to give people a lot of grace because a lot of them just don't know what state they're in.
Yeah.
The Bible's plain about this person. When it says, he that hateth his brother is in darkness. But a lot of these people that I'm talking to, that we go talking to out when we're visiting, guess what? They don't read this Bible. And apart from this word, guess what they're going to know? They're not going to know they're in darkness. How are they going to get the word to them? It takes us. It takes us. They don't realize what state they're in. And I'm afraid a lot of us as Christians today get confused about what state we're in with the Lord. And that's a scary thing. To think we're better off than we really are. And I'm afraid we do a lot of times.
Yep.
We think because I don't do this and I don't do
that
I've got a little more pull with the Lord than somebody else has got, to say it in our layman's terms. But you know what? I say this all the time. To whom much is given, you know what?
Yes.
Much is required.
Yes.
So you know what the Lord expects out of me compared to that person out there on the street? Expects a whole lot more. Seemed like the Lord had something to say about Sodom and Gomorrah and Tyre and Sidon and some of them places. Didn't he? He said it'd be more tolerable. What about that? I'm afraid we're going to be ashamed one day, Brother Creston. We stand before the Lord because of the state that we've allowed our lives to stay in. And a lot of it's just because we're not willing to compare ourselves to what this book says. But this person, it's the reality. We know what state they're in. They're in a state of darkness. But I want you to notice, secondly, the second phrase here in verse number 11. He says, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness. And then he goes on, he says, and walketh in darkness. So we don't just see his state, but we see his step. Where's he walking at? He's continually plodding in the wrong direction. That's what's happening right here. And we know as believers, for us, we ought not walk in darkness. The Bible's real plain. He says we ought to walk in the light. He said to walk in the Spirit, walk honestly as in the day, walk by faith, we walk in love, we walk as children of the light, and we walk circumspectly, we walk in truth, and we walk as He walked. But this person, it says, he walketh in darkness. And, at first glance, When I look at this, I think this person, Kevin, is walking in darkness and they're willingly walking there. But then as the Lord just sort of stirred in my heart over this, what I understood is there's a lot of people out there walking in darkness and they just don't realize they're in the dark. And you wonder why they keep going the wrong way. And I don't want to call out names today, but there's a lot of people we've been praying for years. Some of them come in the doors every now and then. And we wonder why they come in and then they leave. And then they continually walk where they've been walking.
Yes.
You know why that is? Well, Yeah, because their deeds are evil. But a lot of them don't realize how dark they're in, how dark a state they're in. It's never clicked. Had it not been for the Holy Ghost and the Word of God, I'd have never realized I was in the dark, Kevin. Never realized it. And what a grace that is. For every person, I mean, you look around, how many people sitting in here? What a grace that God has bestowed upon you and I. Brother Stephen, he didn't have to let you know that you were living in the dark. He didn't have to let me know. He could have just let me go on about my business and just let me slip off into eternity not knowing him. But thank God he let me know. And thank God he let you know. But because of that, there's an expectation for us. But we see this person's step and that continual plodding in the wrong direction and either a lack of understanding and a lack of need, a lack of understanding their need, or a not willingness to stop and cry for help. But what they don't realize, obviously, is the state of danger that they truly are in. Yes. When you're walking in dark places, you know what you're in? You're in danger. You're in danger of a couple different things. You're in danger of stumbling. The Bible says in John 11:10, he says, "But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him." And I think we all understand that we know that Peter tells us that Satan is as a roaring lion. He walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I looked up, Kevin, when do lions like to hunt? They like to hunt at night. They like to hunt at night. And if you're walking around in the darkness, guess what you're susceptible to? You might be susceptible to some lions. And so you better get in the light. Better not keep walking where you're at, but... what we understand from this is that God's Word is a lamp and a light. But if we're not in God's Word, and these people that we're talking about for the most part today are not in God's Word, and so they can't help but walk in darkness because they have no light. And so if you stay in the darkness, the devil, I've said this before, the devil does not have to disguise his traps because you can't see them.
That's right. You can't see them
and you're an easy target. What we would say, you're a sitting duck. But the more I think about this, the more I realize if I'm living in the dark, the devil's already got me where he wants me. Especially as a child of God. If I'm allowing darkness, if I'm allowing hatred, these feelings, these emotions, to control who I am and control my being and struggle with them. Doug, you know, we've talked about things in our lives, in your family, in my family. You know what can happen if we harbor those things? If we just keep thinking on those things, you know what'll happen? Brother Adam will be brought down into a dark place. That's why we got a lot of depressed Christians today.
Go ahead.
Because they major
yes.
on those circumstantial things.
Yep.
They're looking around at what's happened to them. Instead of remembering what God's done for them. And it's really easy for us to overwhelm ourselves.
Yep.
And that's why Paul said, hey, don't think on those things. He said, here's your list of things to think on.
Yes.
Right? He gave us what to think on.
Right.
We just need to do it. But we find ourselves thinking on things that we ought not to be thinking on. And we get ourselves down and we find ourselves in a dark place because of it. But, you know, as a believer, the question is, how do we get rid? You know, I'm hoping that most people in here are believers. How do we get rid of that darkness? How do we get rid of it? Does the Bible give us any direction on that? I think it does.
Yes, sir.
Look with me in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4. I don't like to ever present a problem and not give a solution. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk." Notice it's talking about walking again. "Walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in. That's a lot about what we've been talking about. Ignorance, because of the blindness of their heart. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. Guess what? I think everybody in here has heard Him. We've been taught by Him. Right? So I think this next part probably applies to most all of us in here. He says that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's where we need some renewal, isn't it? In our mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. We're brethren. It says, be ye angry and do what? And sin not. He understands that there's going to be times of anger. There's going to be times of frustration. We got to control ourselves. That's why one of the fruits of the Spirit is temperance, right? We need to be able to control that. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun do what? Go down upon your wrath. In other words, get it fixed. Get it fixed. If you've got a problem, do your best to fix it before you go to bed. How about that? That's real simple, isn't it? Neither give place to the devil. That's where a lot of us fail.
Right.
We've put ourselves and we've left some footholds. Some places that the devil can get his foot in the door. And you know those sayings, you give the devil an inch and he'll take a mile. I like the one that says, give him an inch and he'll be your ruler. Hey, if you're not careful, folks, just all it takes is just a place. He gets a foothold in, he's liable to tear anything up. But we've got to be careful. We've got to guard ourselves. Let him that stole steal no more. We ought not to have any stealing Christians. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And that verse takes a whole new meaning since you told me that about Brother Ackham. I'll just pause and I'll restate what he said. Kevin asked Brother Ackham if he needed more support than $300 a month, wasn't it? Brother Ackham said, oh no, brother. He said anybody ought to be able to live off that. Anything else needs to go to somebody else. You know what he's doing? He's working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. If you want to know somebody that's living that out, watch his life. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And here's a biggie. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And I'm thankful for the latter part of that verse. But just as serious as that latter part is, you know how serious that first part is? We're not to grieve Him. And here's where I really wanted to get to. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be what? Put away from you with all malice. It says let it, Brother Creston. Let it. In other words, that means if you've got that stuff in you as a Christian, the Spirit of God's trying to push that out. And what's happening is that old man's holding on to it. And so you've got a force pushing it away, and then you've got another force holding it back. You know what you're to do? You're to let that old man let it go and let the new man push it out of the way. Let it go. He says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And verse 32, hopefully you've committed this into memory. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another. And you know what the key to all this is? The last phrase of this chapter. If you just remember the last phrase, you know what you can do? You can put all that away. Even as God for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. So you know how you let hatred go? You remember what God did for you.
That's
through
right.
The Lord Jesus. Nathaniel, that's how we let it go. We say, Lord, you did all that for me.
Right.
I ought to be able to forgive somebody. And you know what he did? The actions that he took for our forgiveness happened before we ever asked for it. That's why Romans 5:8 is there. He loved us while we were yet sinners. God commended his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He did his act of forgiving before we ever asked for it, Kevin. Do you ever just let that stuff sink in? All that was hindering your salvation at any moment has been you holding on to yourself. And when you're willing to let your side of it go and recognize you needed him,
yes,
you know what happened? Immediately. He had already done his part.
Right.
That's how quick salvation happens. It's not in a prayer. It's not in spending an hour up here on the altar crying.
Yes.
It's when you let go of everything that you were holding on to. He left his grudge a long time ago. He did his act of forgiveness at the cross and said, if you want it, it's yours. But you have to come to there. You got to get to Calvary to get it. But it's only by faith that you get there. He made it real easy. But if you want rid of hatred, and I hope nobody here's got any in their heart, but if you do, that's how you get rid of it. You let it go, realizing that Christ has forgiven you. That's as simple as I know to make that. But notice thirdly here in this verse number 11 of John chapter, or 1 John chapter 2, he said, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness, so we see his state. Secondly, we saw his step, that he walketh in darkness. And then, but notice his sense, the third part. It says, and knoweth not whither he goeth. So what that tells me is his senses are messed up. He don't understand. He don't know. And it seems to be the norm today, doesn't it? Dustin, we got a lot of people that just don't know where they're going. Whether they're lost or saved. They just don't know. John 12:35, again, I mentioned that earlier. It says, for he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. So if you're living with these things in your heart, whether lost or saved, you don't know what's going on. You don't know where you're going. And we know that 2 Corinthians 4:4 tells us that the devil blinds minds of them that believe not.
Yep.
But today what we have is we've got a lot of people that are making lots of motion, but they're not getting anywhere. They're like Daniel 12:4, where they're running to and fro just constantly. Everybody's running to and fro. Everybody's busy, busy, busy. But you know how much we're accomplishing? Very little of eternal effect. But we're wearing our, are we not wore out? We wear ourselves out. But what have we got to show for it in eternity? And I understand that out of the life of a non-believer, Brother Adam. They've got no direction. They're totally dark. And the Bible even tells us, we'll read here in a minute, that their carnal mind can't even be subject to the law of God. It can't be. And we'll just turn over and read it right now. So before we get to, you know, this is not the direction I thought this was going to go, but. But a lot of times we Christians, as I've already said, we get frustrated. We get frustrated at our family. We get frustrated at our friends, the co-workers. Why do you not understand? Why do you not want to change? They're in darkness.
Right.
They're in darkness.
Right.
And that's what we've got to realize. And we've got to be able to give grace for that. But Romans 8 verse 1 says, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That's us, amen. who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made us free from the law of sin and death. So I was talking about that new birth that makes that change. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Isn't it amazing how much walking the Bible talks about? For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I prefer life and peace, don't you? Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. That means at odds against God. You're an enemy of God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So is it right for us to expect a lost person to want to do right? No. Don't expect them to. We're messing up by trying to put a lost person on a saved standard.
That's right.
They can't do it. They just can't. And we ought not expect that they can. So then, they that are in the flesh, what? Cannot please God. They can't. And you and I living in the flesh, you know what we can't do? We can't please God. It says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his.
Right.
So there's a huge difference in a believer and a non-believer. The believer has the Spirit of God, and they can be subject to the law of God and should be.
Yeah.
Somebody that's lost, we can't hold them responsible. I mean, they can be responsible, but you understand, we can't expect them to live like a saved person. Don't get frustrated with them. They can't help it. Until God helps it. And He's made a way for them to get help. But they've got to get the Word. And that takes us. God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that would believe. But then the problem is the preaching of the cross is to them that perish what? Foolishness. So they need what they think is foolishness. You ever thought about that? That's the difficult part. You're trying to get a person that does not understand the importance of what they need. To understand that what they need is there and it's very important. I don't know how to put that. But their sense is all messed up. They don't understand. And I'm afraid as saints of God that a lot of us have allowed ourselves to have some dark things come in our life. Maybe some bitterness, malice, anger, clamor is what it's talking about that shouldn't be there. And some of us have lost our sense of direction. That's what happens when we're in the dark. And even if you don't hate your brother, maybe it's something not that bad, but you've got some darkness and your direction's off. Do you ever stop and ask yourself spiritually, where are you heading? Just stop, Dustin. Do you ever think spiritually, Lord, where would you like for me to be a year from now? Where would you like for my family to be spiritually 2 years from now, 5 years from now? Where would I like to be, Matt, 50 years from now, if God lets me live? Do you set those goals? So I want to be at least that far along. I'm afraid we've just lost our direction, don't even know where we're going. Don't ever even cross our minds. We're just living day in, day out, not even taking that into consideration.
Sure.
And we have no idea where we're going, Brother Donnie. We're just running through motions. All we know is we're going to come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And revival, if I ain't got nothing else that's in the way. And that's all I know that my direction's going to be. If that's the way that we live our lives, guess what? We're in the dark. We ain't got any direction. But we need to be running after Him.
Yes.
But if you're in the dark, you can't see Him. So you got to be real careful. So do you even know where you're going? And are you in the dark today? I mean, I have to ask myself these questions when I'm studying this stuff. And are we spiritually minded? Are we carnally minded? What drives your day-to-day life? Is the time that you're spending on a daily basis, is it mostly for the things of the world? Or is it mostly for the things of God? Now, I understand that God has laid it out for us to work and provide. Let us labor with our hands so that we can have to give to those that are in need. I understand those things. But while you're at work, are you using that time to be a witness, a light to those that you're around? Where's your mind at? Do you have any direction? That's hard questions to ask, ain't they? Brother Matt, do you use your customers as an opportunity to witness? Brother Doug, you testified about it all the time. Kevin, those in your drugstore. My wife, the people that come in and see her at her office. Me, when I'm out on the job around all these contractors that don't know the Lord, am I using that as a pedestal to reach these people with the gospel? Or am I just going to work thinking about how can I get this day over and get these problems solved and go home? That's where I find myself a lot of times. But when I'm like that, I'm living a little bit in the dark. It's not where I need to be living. I need to be living in such light, Brother Creston, that every day when I wake up, I'm thinking everything that I do today needs to be about me getting somewhere around somebody that I can tell about the Lord. Brother Rick had an opportunity to talk to your brother yesterday, or day before yesterday, out on the job. Thank the Lord I was able to use that opportunity. There's a lot of them that I miss. You know why? Because I'm too frustrated at other things. I've let things of the world get in my way, and I lose track of where I'm going. So we lose our sense sometimes. So sometimes our state's messed up. Sometimes our step's messed up. Sometimes our senses are messed up. But then lastly, look at the last phrase in this verse, verse number 11. He said, I'll just read that verse again. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, knoweth not whither he goeth, because what? Because that darkness has blinded his eyes. So then lastly, he's lost his sight. That's a scary place, isn't it? It's one thing to be out in the woods and be lost. But Nathaniel, what if you turn the lights off? That's another step farther in the wrong direction. You notice that it's not that he lost his eyes. It's that he was so far from the light that the darkness blinded his eyes. It wasn't that he ever lost his eyes or his ability to see. He said he got in such thick darkness that his eyes were useless. The eyes that God gave him to see, he allowed himself to get in such darkness that he couldn't see with them no more. We better be careful with the gifts You're that God's right. given us yes. and the times that he's allowed us to hear yep. the gospel and respond, and we choose not to. We might find ourselves in a place like this where God gave us eyes, but we've got ourselves in such darkness that they're useless. That's a scary thought. And but this is how life outside of Christ is. It's just dark. And I sent Kevin this, I don't know, a week or two ago. I'm going to ask you all this. Where does darkness to us today, where does darkness come from? Where does it come from? Well, it is the absence of light, yes. But you know what happens is this earth gets between us and the sun. And that's where darkness comes. You know what happens spiritually to us? You know how we find ourselves in the darkness? This world gets between us and the sun, the S-O-N, sun. It's real simple, isn't it? You know, God paints those pictures for us.
That's right.
That's no coincidence.
Nope.
This world gets between us and the sun. And you know what happens when that occurs? Spiritual darkness. Because you got no light from Him. Because you've allowed this world to darken it. That's a dangerous place to be.
Yes.
And I hope that none of us are there today. But Proverbs 29:18 says this. This is a warning. Where there is no vision, what happens? The people perish. And you know what happens when we lose our sight? We stay in the darkness too long? You know what's going to happen to you spiritually? That life that you used to have, guess what's going to happen? It's going to dwindle. You're not going to have that the same no more when you're living in the dark. You take a lost person that fails to see the light of God and just continually goes and goes and goes, their final state is eternal darkness. In hell and eventually the lake of fire. But it's the end of everyone who continues in the dark place. And the Bible's made it clear. But, you know, just to conclude with this little passage, you know, understand that hatred is specifically dealing with hatred. And I know I've touched a lot of other things. But specifically hatred, all that is a reflection of what they really are. The state that they're really in. And it's really hard to love. And it's hard to live when you're trying to live in the darkness. And the Bible says, we won't turn there, but over in Proverbs 13, about verse 15, I think he says the way of a transgressor is what?
Hard.
You know what life will be to any believer or any lost person that goes against the light that God has given them? You know what it's going to be? It's going to be hard. You can just plan on it. You reckon my life gets hard sometimes? It's hard because we make it hard a lot of times. Now, I understand God has circumstances for us to deal with at times. But we're to be in the light. And so, as we wrap up, do you want a better sight? Do you want better senses? Do you want a better step? And do you want to be in a better state? If you do, you got to come to Christ's light. I'm going to read this. I debated on whether I would. Very familiar over in the book of Isaiah, or hopefully it's familiar with you. But the first couple verses, Isaiah chapter 59, the Bible says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save. Neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear." We like to quit there, don't we? But if you continue this passage, it gets worse and worse for
That's
a while
right.
before it gets better.
Yes, sir.
He says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid His face from you. And He will not hear. You see, you can willfully go and go and go to the point where until you want to repent, it's fruitless to try to get right with God until you're ready to repent. And I was going to read a lot more, but I'll just read you verse 20 of that passage. It says, "And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord." He will come to you, but you've got to be willing to turn. We don't hear a lot about repentance today, do we? We do in this church, but in general, you don't hear a lot about it. People think we ought to be able to just live how we want to and live in God's love and God's light. Well, guess what? If you're out of fellowship with Him, you're in a dark place.
Hey.
Life's going to be rough. And you can just count on it. And so I appreciate your good attention. I know today wasn't a shouting a lesson. But it's truth.
Right.
And it's needful. And all of us need help how to live, don't we?
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I forget who I am sometimes.
Yes, sir, brother.
And more than that, I'm afraid I forget who He is sometimes.
Yeah.
And I need a reminder, but I'm thankful for the Word of God that does give us that reminder. Appreciate your good attention. We'll have prayer for anybody that wants to pray down the hallway. Men.